So it is 5 to 4 on the dot. So we reconvene our meeting and we move into administrative items, item 22, which I requested Mr. Harris to include in today's agenda. So would you please introduce that item?
Could I make a suggestion, Mr. Chair Wolf, is that we, for the time being, we rearrange the order and we go to 24A, the discussion of local agency management plans pursuant to state policy for on-site, because I think that's an important issue for a couple of the board members, and we kind of have to tee it up a little bit for.
Okay,
if we're gonna
and
carry
we
it
may,
forward.
And we may or may not be able today to cover your executive. Report. We'll see where we're at time-wise.
I'm not too concerned about that. So.
Okay, so let's go ahead with 24A. So please introduce this item,
So 24A is the discussion of local agency management plan pursuant to state policy for on-site wastewater treatment systems. At the Water Board meeting in Santa Barbara last August 1st, Santa Barbara County staff provided a staff report status report on their efforts to develop a local agency management plan as provided for in the new state policy for on-site wastewater treatment systems. The board at that time gave some feedback to county staff at the meeting, and staff provided additional, our staff provided additional comments to the county in a letter dated November 3rd, 2014, and that's included in today's staff report. Today's discussion is an opportunity for the board to provide additional feedback to county staff, and I'm not sure. Oh, we do have a county staff person here. Great. But also to our own staff, the board should also decide whether to schedule a workshop to discuss the on-site policy and management plans throughout the region, or whether to carry forward the discussion on Santa Barbara County's LAMP at the January meeting 2015, which will be in Santa Barbara. So that's really all we you want to say some things, Harvey?
Yeah, this is Harvey Packard. If you wouldn't mind, I have a little background to go over. I know it's getting late, but at the meeting in August, there was some discussion by the board about actions that the board has taken in the past with respect, especially to Los Osos, and whether it seemed that Los Osos had received undue extra attention enforcement for its septic system issues. I didn't have any information at that Santa Barbara meeting, so I didn't speak up, but I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the historical actions that the board has taken. You've heard of Los Osos Prohibition Zone, maybe even the San Lorenzo Valley Zone, but other areas that the board also issued prohibitions on for septic systems were Mission Canyon near Santa Barbara, Los Alamos in Santa Barbara County, Napomo, San Luis Obispo County, CSA 18 out here at the Country Club in San Luis Obispo, Baranda and Virginia Acres near Salinas, the Moss Landing area, and the Las Lomas Hall area near Watsonville. The board also worked on Bay Farms Hillcrest area near Watsonville and San Lucas in southern Monterey County. The board did not issue prohibition zones in those areas because the county adopted septic system restrictions in those areas. All of those areas were sewered, except for Los Osos and San Lorenzo. In San Lorenzo, the board accepted a septic management program that included pretty stringent requirements on upgrade and repair of septic systems. They have a management program. They tax septic system owners to have the oversight on that. So even though that one wasn't sewered, the county is taking a very active role there. Los Osos had, all of those areas were sewered. Most of them were funded about 7/8% or 7/8 of the money was combined state and federal funds. Los Osos had the same opportunity to get those grant funds. The county had a project that would have sewered the Country Club and Los Osos at the same time. And they went ahead with the Country Club project, but Los Osos, some residents in Los Osos objected because the county's project was what they thought was not the best one and would have cost too much. Actually, that original county system was very similar to what's being built today. an out-of-town plant and mostly sewered in the in-town area. And the projected charge is about $30 to $35 a month. Obviously, that turned out differently. It's going to cost closer to $200 a month for residents now. The board only took action in Los Osos because Los Osos failed to comply with the prohibition that all the other prohibition areas did take care of. So that's why in some of our shorter term memory, that's what it looks like. We only care about Los Osos. But if you look at the whole picture, the board did look at a lot of other areas and those areas fixed their problems. So I just wanted to make sure that the board had that in mind while we talk about Santa Barbara. Some of those issues were pretty serious. Nipomo in 1964 had a typhoid epidemic that was directly related to septic system use. So there have been a lot of advancements made. I also wanted to mention, to talk a little bit about the OTS policy, the on-site wastewater treatment system policy, and what the policy says about what a LAMP has to include. The LAMP is a local agency management program that local agencies can propose instead of complying or requiring compliance with the Tier 1 regulations, which are pretty strict. We talked about this in August in Santa Barbara. The policy is actually not that prescriptive about what the board has to see in a LAMP to approve it, and it's not that prescriptive on what the LAMP has to include. There are some basic parts that it has to include. The policy says, or the policy part of the LAMP, is that it must protect water quality and public health. There's some general things that the board, or that the LAMP must include. It is specific and says that it must detail the scope of the coverage, such as the maximized authorized projected flows, must have a local site evaluation, siting, design, and construction requirements. It must have requirements for inspection, monitoring. It may include provisions applicable within specific geographic areas near specific impaired water bodies. Has to have education and outreach. And there are some bare minimums. You can't have cesspools, for instance. You have to maintain records. You have to do a water quality assessment. That's the monitoring. You must submit annual reports to the water board identifying changes in the LAMP. Well, there's an annual report due, and then there's a report due every 5 years. And in the five-year reports, the local agency must identify any changes in the local agency management program that will be undertaken to address impacts from on-site systems. And a local agency management program must include adequate detail, including technical information to support how all the criteria in their program work together to protect water quality and public health. I think Santa Barbara's LAMP includes all of those elements, but the board still has some discretion, I think, in reading the policy on what additional elements the LAMP should include. The board in the August meeting suggested that the LAMP should include identification and discussion of known problem areas, and including a prioritization and a schedule for addressing those problem areas and groundwater monitoring. Those things the board was pretty clear about. Santa Barbara County's LAMP includes all of the basic elements. I think it's all there. What I think it is lacking, perhaps, is in its monitoring. This county is only proposing to use existing public water supply wells and data that are submitted in compliance with state permits. And it doesn't have enhanced or dedicated monitoring systems in any of the problem areas. The LAMP specifies that supplemental treatment will be required in areas designated by the Board of Supervisors as special problem areas and areas identified by the Central Coast Water Board. So it does address specific failing systems. And Mr. Fay made that clear in August. When a system fails, the county requires that it be fixed. If it's in a special problem area, then it needs supplemental treatment. That's all good and it's all there. But what it doesn't have is a comprehensive plan for special problem areas. And it's especially glaring when you look at the septic survey that the county itself paid for in 2002, which identifies all the problem areas in the county and includes recommendations for how to deal with those problem areas. The sections of the LAMP are, or the sections of the sanitary survey are in the LAMP, but the LAMP itself does not require, or doesn't provide the specific things that this board was looking for, a prioritization of those problem areas and a schedule for addressing them. So I think what the board needs to decide and the input that we as staff and the county are looking for is how important is that to the board? Are we going to require that the county include those elements in the LAMP, or are there some other ways that we can get that work done outside of the LAMP? So that's my introduction. I don't know if Ken has anything else to add, but we can go from there.
I just had an interesting tidbit I wanted to pass along to you, and that is one of the things we learned when we were developing the LAMP was that it was either hundreds or several thousand cesspools within the city limits of Los Angeles that they wanted us to deal with and get rid of. So I thought that was, you think of the big city, but there's still quite a few septic systems in LA County as well as cesspools.
So, fellow board members, did you want to say something, Mr. Young?
No, just when it's time for us to ask questions, I've got
a question. Well, we also have county staff here to.
So, do you have another presentation to make, or at this time you're?
We're looking to you to give us some direction in terms of where you want to go with this item.
I do have a speaker card, but in the meantime, if there was some question to staff, we could ask those. The speaker card requests 30 minutes with a smiling face. I hope the zero behind the 30 was some attempt at humor, because we don't have 30 minutes for this item. So I certainly would extend, maybe in 5 minutes, because I know you came all the way from Santa Barbara, but 30 minutes at this time is a tall request. I saw the smiling face. So would you like to give your presentation now, and then we can have the board ask question? We're a small group here, so I'm informal, whatever everybody prefers.
I'd like to go for
Hillary. Okay, Hillary. And we'll give you 5 minutes. How's that?
Thank you, Chair Wolf, and members of the board.
You're very welcome.
I really appreciate the extra time. Heal the Ocean has been working on this very seriously, starting with the RINCON. We're trying to help other areas that are on septic system, and we also work with, through the IRWIN process, the Prop 84 process, now the other sources of money to help these areas get off septic system. It isn't that we go and rail and we find the money to do it, but we have these problem areas, and it's all voluntary. Environmental health, we've been coordinating on a really bad area that we know about. There's engineering studies done, but still, if the people say no, it's no. Or most of them can say yes, and one person says no, and it's all over. So during the RINCON, the 15 years that we struggled through that, Heal the Ocean, we came to you a number of times, I know you remember, and said, help, help. Is there some way, can we have a piece of paper? Can we have anything so that one or two people can't sue and stop the whole project? When you're in a 303D area with high groundwater and proven We did DNA and everything, and we still couldn't do it. So the lamp is really, really important to us. AB 85 is really important to us. And Heal the Bay and Heal the Ocean filed a friendly lawsuit on the state water board. Mark Gold told John Bishop it was coming to get AB 85 right into law. It was sitting around for 12 years. We finally got to Sacramento. We all worked on the stakeholder committee. And Heal the Ocean brokered the compromise. Heal the Bay wanted monitoring and all these things that Shasta didn't want and so forth. The compromise was the lamp. The compromise with the AB 85 would be broad, and that the lamps would focus on the topography or the groundwater or the particular problems of each area. So the Tier 2 lamp can be more prescriptive than AB 85. And the regional boards, all the regional boards adopted into their basin plan the general AB 85, and within 5 years can come up with their particular lamp. And I was really wanted to be here yesterday to ask this board that the lamp be included on the basin plan, but that's another issue. So we've been working with the stakeholder process for a year in Santa Barbara with all this in mind, with all this compromise in mind, and how do we get something with teeth? We've got areas that this is going on again where one guy is holding up the town of Los Olivos because he wants to keep his Wild West, even though we've offered $2 million to help them, even with the advanced system. So after a year in this process, I'm sorry to say I love environmental health. We've known each other a long time, but it's a piece of milk toast. We could no more get anywhere with this than the man in the moon. And so we came before your board and said, help. We wrote you a letter and said, we need this. And you responded, which I really appreciate. We really appreciate with your November 3rd letter that asked Santa Barbara EHS to get some tougher stuff as some of the things that were mentioned here. And so the group is meeting again next week. The environmental health plans to go to the Board of Supervisors again in December. I'm not sure what the rush is about. We're on year two of 5 years. If we could just, settle down and get something. But anyway, I appreciate where we are now. I will be here before you. I'll be before the Board of Supervisors in December saying, please, we've already talked to the Board of Supervisors about a stronger piece of paper, a stronger regulation, the prohibition zones, timeline for remediation, timeline for inspection, some specifics. Right now it's voluntary. So I appreciate your eye on this. I'll be before you here, there, and everywhere until we get something that doesn't put us through another Rincon.
Thank you very much.
I'm under 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You, I'm very impressed.
Thank you. 11 seconds.
Yes, we'll give you that 15 seconds credit. I'm sure at some other meeting, that may come very helpful. Thank you, Hillary. So, let's see.
Take Mr. Johnston.
Mr. Johnston.
Well, to me, this isn't about Santa Barbara County, the lamps are a new thing for us as a board, and I felt a little bad. I kind of felt like here's Santa Barbara County coming, showing off their nearly done lamp to give us a chance to see how these things work, and I had a feeling they might have regretted it as soon as we all started asking questions. But I just think that, and I have nothing against septic systems per se, when they're functioning right and when they're sited right. But I think that most, if not all, the counties in our region have particular areas where the septic systems are a problem, either because of density issues or because It's simply inappropriate topography for septic systems. And it's not working. And it just seems like, to me, my personal view as a board member is, as these lamps come before us, I'm going to want to see the lamps for all the counties, not just for Santa Barbara, as a regional planning document, designate where the problem areas are, if there are problem areas, and there may be a county or two that have none, but to the extent that there are, designate them and designate what the plan is for dealing with them. And maybe it's an area that's never going to be appropriate for septic, and maybe it's an area that is iffy but can be appropriate if it's properly engineered, or maybe it's an area where really all that's required is some sort of a regular inspection and management program as it's been instituted in the San Lorenzo Valley. But I think it's incumbent, if you're going to put together a regional plan, to identify the problem areas and to identify what the plan is for them. So I kind of want to take the focus off just Santa Barbara, and I frankly give Santa Barbara credit for you know, moving quickly on this, not waiting to the end of the 5 years for bringing it to us. And I'm sorry that the reward is getting slapped around some, but I think it's an important issue.
But for clarification, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Harris, the reason Santa Barbara came, you know, in the forefront is because they're way ahead compared to other counties with their LAMP program. Yeah. So it's more of a chronology issue than, you know, the focus on Santa Barbara.
Well, you're right, they were way ahead, and we were going to be in Santa Barbara, and we asked them if they would come forward and give us an update on it. And, well, we all know what happened after that.
So to dovetail a little bit on Mr. Johnson's input about, you know, the other counties, I mean, how are we looking at about a year down the road, other counties? Do you have any feel for
that? I'm going to ask Harvey. I do not. They do have, the state board, we passed the LAMP June of 2012, so they have till 2017 to continue using their existing regulations.
Well, they can continue to use them forever. They just won't be able, they'll just have to use Tier 1.
They'll have to use Tier 1, which is not their existing regulations.
Everything will move to Tier 1.
Which is extremely restrictive.
Right. But do we have other counties in the pipeline?
They all say they're working on them. We have not seen drafts from anybody, and I don't have any expected dates of when we'll see drafts.
And the reason I ask that is, you know, you using effectively, you know, staff time in reviewing things, if there were other counties who had signaled, hey, we're ready in 3 months, and say, okay, maybe we can have the economy of scale. That's kind of a little side. Yeah.
I'm guessing, input. I know San Luis County is watching what we're doing with Santa Barbara, and maybe the other counties are too.
Mm-hmm. So let's get Santa Barbara's right.
Blaze trading, right. So let's see, I think Mr. Young.
Okay, so let me boil this down to the two issues that I have. One is, I heard you say supplemental treatment would kick in an area. How does supplemental treatment protect water quality and public health? That's a goal of the LAMP. So if you do supplemental treatment, does that mean that you've essentially taken that on-site system, you're putting it through advanced treatment, whatever discharge you have is of such a high level that it will not degrade water quality? Is that what that means?
That's the general idea, and maybe we should get the county to explain what they mean specifically in their LAMP, but generally we're talking about nitrate reduction and pathogen reduction.
Okay. Is that Mr. Fay back there? Mr. Fay, do you mind coming up? Mr. Chair, if you would indulge me a few minutes, and Mr. Fay could.
I will indulge you, Mr. Young.
Thank you.
Is the microphone turned on? Thank you, Mr. Chair, Madam Vice Chair, members of the board. My name is Larry Fay. I'm Environmental Health Services Director for Santa Barbara County. Good to see you all again.
Yeah.
Contrary to what you had said, yeah, we felt a little bit bashed up, but you know, that's part of the process. And we are feeling like we've done a pretty good job. But specific to the question of supplemental treatment, what we're looking at is places where the county has designated special problems areas where water quality is impaired and at least septic systems are identified as contributing factors that water quality repair. Harvey's correct. When we're talking supplemental treatment, we're talking about advanced systems that provide clean effluent, and that can be determined based on the contaminants we're concerned about. In Los Olivos, our primary concern is nitrates. Other areas, it might be pathogen concerns. In some cases, it might be both. System would be designed to both reduce the pathogens to an acceptable level or the nitrate to. You're not going to generally get systems that are going to make a drinking water standard for nitrogen. You're basically going to get systems that will reduce the total nitrogen from a single septic system by a factor of 50% to 75%. You might get your nitrogen levels from the effluent down into the 10 milligram per liter range. One of the key things on supplemental treatment when it's required, and one of the conditions that we put in our ordinance and we've discussed in our LAMP, is a requirement for a renewable operating permit that would go with one of those systems that requires annual, actually at a minimum, annual inspection of those systems, or at a frequency specified by the manufacturer. Typically that's 6 months, regular reporting to the county, and a condition of renewing that operating permit is that they've kept up with the inspections and maintenance of those systems. We feel like not only we have the technology to do the treatment, but we have a system in place to assure that those systems are operated properly and continue to provide the protection.
How big is your problem area in Los Olivos?
Well, actually, we have three problem areas that are all in the Santa Ynez Valley with Janin Acres, that Ballard area, and Los Olivos. If I remember correctly, the total number of households in the three areas is around 800, 850.
So does this mean that then you would be requiring supplemental systems for each of those 800, 850 parcels?
That would be correct if a septic system's failed and we have to then go in and do a repair, yes. But we don't have a requirement to go in and retrofit all of those systems today. Okay. Be clear, yeah.
Okay, so then do you have an estimate for how many are failing today?
Within those areas, I don't. Okay. We do have the numbers of repairs that we're doing on an annual basis. I didn't bring those with me. Let me just.
David? Well, you know, if you have an estimate, that's fine.
But this is countywide now.
And well, I would just think, you know, let's just look at those three problem areas in the valley.
I don't have the numbers broken out for the valley.
So, my concern would be, you're going to require advanced treatment for some of these, some portion of the 850. And I would assume that the soils are similar throughout each of these three areas, right?
That's correct. There's a lot of consistency.
Is it safe to say then that the systems that you're not going to require advanced treatment, they may not be failing by your criteria, but they're still going to be contributing nitrates and bacteria to groundwater?
That would be a fair statement. If there's a system that's currently contaminating, it would continue to contaminate until it's identified and corrected.
I'm going to have a problem with that. I got to just be honest with you.
Mr. Young?
Yes.
Let me read from the state policy the definition of a failing system, because I think it's important to your questions.
Okay.
Well, there's two things here. One is any OTS that has pooling effluent discharges wastewater to the surface or has wastewater backed up into plumbing fixtures because its dispersal system is no longer adequately percolating the water is deemed to be failing. And any OTS that has affected or will affect groundwater or surface water to a degree that makes it unfit for drinking water or other uses or is causing human health or other public nuisance conditions shall be modified or upgraded so as to abate the impact. So just because it's not...
failing on the surface.
Right. It still would fall under the Tier 3, which requires corrective action.
Tier 4.
So if it's impacting groundwater. to the point where, say, nitrates are so high that you could not drink it or you had pathogens, that would still require modification or upgrades.
And that might require then... we didn't allow Los Osos to go that route. Some people came to us and they wanted to put in advanced systems. And we, kept to...
No, I'm just trying to give you
a
bracket around
right.
which... So in essence, it's if Los Osos, unless you're going to tease out each individual system and say, this one is not affecting groundwater,
right.
but this one is,
right.
but overall the groundwater is, impacted, it seems to me you've got to deal with the entire community and you can't piecemeal the solution.
That would be my conclusion also, that not to do it piecemeal, but to address the whole.
And this is in our basin plan.
Okay. All right. Okay. Then the second question I would have is this. How does the, by what method or process is the county informed that a system is failing? In other words, is it complaint driven by a neighbor? Do you have an inspection system in these three? And I'm just using the three problem areas in the valley. Are you proposing to do a inspection every couple of years of these systems, or monitoring results from groundwater wells? How are you going to learn that a system is failing?
Mr. Chair, the approach that we have in our draft ordinance and in the LAMP is consistent with what we've been doing historically. Failures are found typically one of three ways. One is that, I should say four ways. Every once in a while, somebody reports his or her own failure. That's not common. We have a mandatory reporting requirement. When people have a septic system serviced by one of our licensed folks, if they find a deficiency with that system, then they're required to report to us. That's the way most of our failed septic systems come to our attention. There are times where people are wanting to redevelop or do some building addition or do something with property that has current uses on it. And when we have an evaluation of the system done at that stage, find a failure. In that case, you may not only be repairing, but you're also bringing it fully up to code because they're also doing a building addition. Those would be the three main ways that they okay. come up at this point. We do not have in the draft ordinance or in the plan a mechanism for annual or periodic inspection in any particular area of the county.
So, my preference would be, and I'm just one board member, is that where you, at a minimum, where you've identified problem areas, that you become more proactive. And you're not waiting for the system to be complaint driven, which I know that's what happens, and I know that that's what the Board of Supervisors prefers at this point. But I think that we need to have a mechanism which is more protective of water quality and protective of making sure these systems are properly maintained. How would you feel about your LAMP having a provision where you would require in these problem areas that a system be inspected with some frequency, like every 3 years or 5 years? In other words, there'd be no requirement, say, when the property changes hands, as long as the system has been inspected on some frequency, only for the problem areas, and that you get the same report that you would get if they pumped the tank.
Now I can tell you my personal feelings, and I can tell you kind of the process we've managed and how we arrived at the recommendation that we have in place. I don't think it's an unreasonable thing to ask of an area where there's an identified specific septic system problem to put in place some kind of mandatory inspection program. I think frankly, if we were told that that was a condition of us getting a lamp approved, I don't know that I could sell that, and then we might fall back to Tier 1, in which case none of the things that we're talking about would happen. So, I mean, that's kind of the balancing act we're working. I don't know, and I can't speak for the Board of Supervisors, but I can go back to the Board of Supervisors and say we're getting more specific direction, and it looks like we won't get approved if we don't include these elements, if that's the direction that comes out of the board. I don't know what our end decision would be, you know, as to where we go.
Right. Okay. No other questions from me at this time.
I'll go down the road. Mr. Delgado?
Yeah, if the gentleman could come back, I'm sorry. I was going to ask staff this question, but since you're up there, I might as well ask you. You know, back in July, the water board staff sent a letter, had about 30-plus suggestions. Were those incorporated to the best of your ability?
The 30 comments that came in July, we did the best we could to address those or explain, you know, where there was a misunderstanding that resulted in the comment. For instance, a number of the comments that were in that letter were related to the 2003 sanitary survey. We included it in our LAMP, the executive summary of that sanitary survey. There were some suggestions that we should do some editing there, and we had explained, well, no, that's actually a document that's long and done in reference. We won't edit that. Otherwise, the comments that were related to issues that were brought by the water board were addressed, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Dr. Hunter?
Thank you, Mr. Fay. It's good to see you.
Thank you.
We appreciate you traveling up for this discussion. As a prelude, you know, to seeing you in January. So you just referred to the study. Is that the 2002 study that Harvey referred to?
2003.
We
call
study.
It commonly the Cuesta Report Sanitary Survey of Santa Barbara County.
Right. So how did that come about? What was the intent there?
Now, you're predating my time in Santa Barbara County by about 10 years with that report.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is by that time, 885 had already passed. The state was started in its process of developing statewide standards. The county, in anticipation of that, decided, well, let's initiate a study so we kind of know what our baseline is.
Mm-hmm.
I can say the study was not without controversy.
I'm sure.
It relied a lot on our septic system permitting data, not a lot on field verification, and a lot of generalized assumptions were made, particularly with the so-called focus areas, which I think is probably the primary reason that it generated some angst amongst folks. If there were, at the time, you know, solid data to indicate that these focus areas actually were contributing to surface water or groundwater quality or threatening public health in some manner or another, there might have been a different reception, but the conclusions that were drawn were based on sort of generalized data and assumptions.
Okay, and I understand also that there were recommendations for how to address those problems, and but I think Harvey kind of characterized the in the period following the release of that study, really hasn't been any action on those recommendations, or is that, are there diverse ways in which that report has been integrated into ongoing approach to this issue?
That's a good question. What I would say is the impact wasn't specific to the focus areas. I would say it was probably more generalized beefing up of the on-site sewage program across the county, development of things like our mandatory reporting program. We did some work in the Mission Canyon septic area in the way of inspections and some outreach with the community there.
Mm-hmm.
It did not result in the county doing any kind of concentrated or site-specific work within those focus areas. We've had a long history of working with the regional board on septic issues in Los Olivos in particular, mm-hmm. and applying some loading rates that come from earlier staff recommendations, but we've never really had formal action from the board regarding those areas that would be the underpinnings of something like a prohibition zone or something really that, you know, would have given us teeth to force a lot of folks to repair and replace existing systems, or maybe then compel them to get serious about sewering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and Los Olivos in particular does overlap. I'm not familiar with the other two areas right off
They're kind of a string of communities together.
Olivos is one that is on our map, mm-hmm. and when you look at the nitrate levels there from the data that we have, it's very apparent that there are problems, and whether or not they're solely caused by septics, I'm not even sure about that. We haven't really, I haven't looked at the data mm-hmm. to understand what we know, but we do know it's a hot spot. So with that in mind, I think you recall that I brought up the idea of the prioritization and the timelines. Has there been any response from your board about the idea of incorporating a prioritization and a timeline for bringing more of a systematic approach to, as Mr. Harris said, it's something that you can't do piecemeal. You have to really think about it holistically and on a small local region level.
We've not taken this before our board yet. We had scheduled November 4th to have our first hearing with the board. We have taken it to the board in terms of setting hearing dates, and the board now has the draft ordinance and the LAMP, and they're aware of what we're working on, but we have not gone before the board. We continued the initial hearing after we received the board letter on November 3rd, in largely because we wanted to better understand what the concerns are and mm-hmm. see if we couldn't get more specific direction as to what would be expected in our LAMP and in our ordinance, and kind of specifically where we have missed the mark, if we already have, so that we can then better go back and advise our board or decide whether we want to back up and do some rethinking of where we are with it. So we have continued our action with the Board of Supervisors in Santa Barbara County till December 9th. And I think we will be digesting what we hear here today and be making some further decisions about where we're going.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm hoping that the idea of, I don't think that a prioritization list in terms of the three special areas that already carry a designation and a timeline to consider how to begin to address the groundwater issue. I mean, if you've got people running their businesses with, porta potties being trucked in and out, and that just seems to me like a short-term, it doesn't seem to me like a permanent method of addressing the problem. And I understand that being a small business person, a restaurant or what have you, that they're going to do what they need to do to keep the doors open and keep the business viable. But at the same time, that would just seem to me to send up such a red flag that I would hope that, you know, in your list of options to increase the strength of the LAMP, because I agree with my fellow board members that we were encouraged to hear that you were already on your way with this. And so from that perspective, we also knew that there were some areas that we're very concerned about. And so, you know, that's where we're going to naturally shine a light and say, how does that look to you? Is that a 5 year? Is that a 10 year? Is that a 20 year effort? Give us some idea of what the reality is of actually starting to fix the problem.
I can speak to experience I had in Washington where we did something very similar. We were obligated under state regulation to evaluate and designate what we called marine recovery areas.
Mm-hmm.
And in those marine recovery areas, once we were established, we had to put a program in place to assure that every system in that marine recovery area was inspected, evaluated, determined to be functioning, if not functioning, repaired, and then every system would go into an annual inspection program. Between the time allowances of the state regulation and the time that we spent, it was probably a 10-year process,
mm-hmm.
to where we were actually issuing notices of violations to, mm-hmm. people who had not had those inspections done,
mm-hmm.
Because of the significant change that meant to people's normal behavior and the,
mm-hmm.
time needed to be spent in getting the systems in place and getting communities aware of what the issues and what the consequences were.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was effective. It was a long-term,
mm-hmm.
project, and it was driven by a very explicit regulation adopted by the State Board of Health that mandated that we do that, as opposed to, you know, this is something good to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'd urge you to, yeah, use that, put that experience to good use, because again, all of those things are absolutely reasonable, that it would take that kind of comprehensive effort, including educating the public and including looking at the long-term health, potential health impacts. So, you know, I'm glad to hear that that's something that you understand and you realize, recognize. It's a step-by-step process. There's phases of work, but certainly the Los Olivos area is really, you know, crying for a long-term solution. Thank you.
So I suggest you stay close to the podium, because we still have some board members that have been making some notes here. So, Mr. Johnston?
I just have a couple of brief observations. One is, while it would be a huge step forward to have the systems in these impacted areas be inspected on a regular basis, Mr. Harris read a two-part definition of failing systems, and really the inspections would only identify the first of the two parts, the systems that aren't able to carry the load, not the systems that are contributing to unacceptably to groundwater pollution. My second observation is, I'm watching this discussion, and I'm thinking, you know, Mr. Fay works for an elected board, and he gave his example of the 10-year program that was imposed by a state regulatory agency, and there certainly would be, I'm guessing, pushback from his elected board to him saying, you guys should impose this kind of a program and take the political heat. That's the reality. And at the same time, we're an agency where, you know, every time that our board tells staff of a new set of tasks we want them to take on, you know, we're starting to get pushback about, well, these are the things we're not going to be able to do. I mean, I understand, I think it's important for us to tell the counties what we want to see in the LAMPS. At some point, we may come to the question of what we're able and have the resources to and prepared to mandate or not mandate, you know, because there is a limit to what we can expect electeds to impose on their voting constituencies. They do it at their peril.
Mr. Jordan?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't really have any questions for you, but you can hang there if you want to, whatever. So,
I'm done.
Okay.
Not quite.
I feel about the same way right now, don't worry. So Ken, the conversation I heard you have with Jeff was that even systems that aren't exhibiting a visible criteria of fail still meet the fail definition in the statewide policy based on degradation of groundwater.
I'm sorry, I was talking to my attorney.
So you need to stop that. So when you're talking to Jeff about the definition of fail, the second definition of fail that's in the policy clearly says that even systems that aren't exhibiting a visible sign of failure or a plumbing sign of failure, but that are that can be shown to be degrading groundwater quality, clearly qualify as fail according to the state policy.
And we were just talking about the impacts of that, and I don't know if you want to comment. That's what we were kind of whispering about.
That was like a yes or no question, though.
There's no such thing with an attorney.
I guess not.
Maybe.
Okay, good.
I'll start with the question that Ken was asking, which was how do we approve a lamp that doesn't address that? And the policy allows the county to only address permitting of new facilities. In order to permit any new facilities, they have to be able to show that their program is protective of groundwater. So if there's existing impacts because of failing systems, they have to somehow address that to be able to permit new systems. Whatever the LAMP says, the policy and the basin plan say that where there's a failing system, which is one that is broken, to use shorthand, or one that's causing or contributing to an exceedance of groundwater objectives, the board can require corrective action. I think that the preference of the board and the policy, and I assume the county, is the county will take the lead in regulating septic systems. I think it's much more efficient and satisfactory for everyone. But if they don't do that, the board will have to step in and issue WPRs or require corrective action.
Part of the discussion that went back and forth there was that if you don't, in a LAMP designation, a tier designation, is parcel by parcel, right? It's not countywide.
The tiers in the LAMP have to do with whether they're existing facilities or new.
But a tier, whether you're tier 0, 1, 2, 3, or 4, has to do with one particular system.
Right.
Correct.
Inside the county.
Correct.
Okay, and I think part of the conversation I heard there, well, if you don't have a LAMP, you just default back to tier 1. That would not be true. If your ones that would fail because, I'm looking at their fact sheet, because of significant groundwater or surface water degradation, would go back to tier 4.
Right, which means that they
would require work on that. Right,
right, they have to upgrade so that they can comply with tier 1 or 2 as applicable, depending whether they have a LAMP.
And
if they don't, we have to deal with it.
But isn't the requirement of the granting of a LAMP that it meet the minimum requirements of the same situation for the other tiers within your LAMP process?
I don't think I understand the question.
So I think what he's asking is their policy has to, I mean, our basin plan amendment, which is basically the OTS, sets out the minimum for what the LAMP has to include. So it has to comply with what the LAMP says. So they have to use the definitions that we have in there.
But their implementation of the LAMP for a user that would have qualified for tier 4 without the presence of a LAMP, the LAMP process would have to treat that location with at least the same minimum treatment or prescribed activity as they would without the presence of a LAMP and a default to the regular tier. Is that
right? So they can't excuse failing systems from complying with the law by including them in a LAMP and imposing less stringent requirements.
So that was a long way of saying, I guess that's one of the connections I don't see in what I see on the state policy versus the implementation of the local policy. I think it's reasonable to expect the county to make some assumptions in these problem areas and offer, rather than what I see right now is no nudge, at least some form of a nudge. And I get the whole political issue. I get that entirely. City of Santa Barbara is right now going through a zoning information report review and upgrade. And, you know, you put a bunch of realtors in the room, that's the last people you want to see at zoning meetings. So I get that whole dynamic. But from my standpoint, what I at least like in presentation in a public hearing to the board is a discussion of that rather than no discussion of that. So at least you can hold your electeds accountable for their stance on whether they want to go in that direction of mandatory upgrades or point of sale inspections, whatever those is. Those seem like reasonable things to discuss publicly, and at least so the stakeholders then who agree or don't agree with the direction that the elected officials go can form their opinion on and evaluate that. I think, you know, that's my biggest feeling. You asked a couple questions. I think if there's time in January, I think we should come back in January and talk about it. I think it's the same staff person maybe, so you might have some issues there as dealing with the desal. But if there's time to bring it to January and have a better discussion, I would agree with that there. My overall feeling on this is that the document that I saw did nothing to even nudge or begin to work on existing known problem areas or possible future failures. It did not even begin to address those in a proactive manner. It was all going to be reactive. And I think that's an important component to have. What that looks like, I don't know. How that sells politically, I don't know. But that's, I think, part of the discussion that should be had publicly.
Thank you, Mr. So Chair. Can you help me? I know it's late in the day. What you are looking for specifically from staff? What kind of product how would you like to structure the item?
To me, this is your classic design meeting. I don't think I lay out what that looks like in particulars. I think the burden is on the county to get the 10,000-foot direction on happiness or unhappiness or what we're looking for firming up, and for them to come back and propose specifics, and for then a discussion to take place and to decide if there's consensus on where we can get with that. I personally don't have the subject matter expert.
No, you've answered my question.
Okay,
I think, so.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Fay, if you would indulge me for a moment, you use the words supplemental systems, and you know, typical septic, you have the solids tank, you have a liquid tank, and you have a leach line. So what do you do?
Well, the supplemental treatment, there are a variety of manufactured products out there that do advanced wastewater treatment. The one that we see most commonly in Santa Barbara County is the Advantech system that comes from Oregon, and it's a combination of aerobic system with a fixed film media. And it's a recirculating system that can be enhanced for nitrogen reduction as well as pathogen reduction. And they've done a real good job of also including, a maintenance package with those systems. It's a company that has been in the wastewater business for 30 plus years, and they've really thought cradle to grave kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one we see most commonly. And they'll produce effluent that easily meets a 10 milligram per liter BOD suspended solids. Can get the nitrates down, I think, below 10 and certainly below 20. And
Mr. Fay, what's the cost of that system?
Oh, you start talking the purchase price of the equipment at around $20,000, and the installations on a residential property are going to start hitting $30,000,
$40,000. So I only bring that up because, you know, in many instances, these are probably low income. Not all of them, but some of them are going to be low income. You've got...
Yeah, in fact, as you were describing the system, I'm like, sounds expensive.
And the maintenance that goes with them is expensive,
yeah.
Yes.
So, all right, so you answered that. The other thing is that, you know, the contractors who work on septic systems, they are licensed by the Department of Consumer Affairs. There are standard industry guidelines for proper maintenance of septic systems. So it's not kind of a willy-nilly, you know, when you see stuff bubbling up in your lawn, you fix it. There is a guideline which is every 5 years. I mean, that's the standard guideline, every 5 years. Now, if you have soils where you do have issues because of, you know, problem with the leach line, they recommend 3 years. So I would say that when we talked about the nudging, it doesn't, to me, seem to be onerous to say, you know, the industry guideline per the Association of Septic Contractor, whatever terminology is, you know, 5-year increment, which is pumping the system. When we talk about failing system, there are many ways they fail. I mean, our interpretation of failing is groundwater. There's a whole other type of failure. The people who don't pump their system, and then you have the solids overflowing on the liquids, and the leach lines get plugged up, and then you have major disaster. So there is that other educational component, and maybe that's one that needs to take place. A lot of people see septics out of sight, out of mind. So that might be another, you know, way of packaging, pardon me, in a lower cost approach, you know, some of the solution in the areas that that we know currently are being challenged. And then lastly, there's a big difference between single family septic system and commercial systems. In fact, in some counties, this county, if you have a septic and you're a commercial operation, you know, 3 years, you as a minimum every 3 years, you have to pump your system. And that's to account for the fact of, you know, the amount of customers who use your facility, et cetera. So that's another area. We talk about Los Olivos. There are a lot of businesses there. So that's, I don't think lumping single-family dwellings and commercial operation in one big septic system, you know, is logical because of the stress on the system. So I'm not here to come up with the nuts and bolts. That's not what I want to do. But I guess what I'm offering is perhaps some other ways, you know, an educational component, a little leaflet for the folks. Hey, you know, recommend to do this every 5 year. Looking at commercial versus residential.
Mr. Chair and members of the board, and if I may, I'd say there are a whole variety of ways of approaching septic system inspection, repair, and maintenance in identified problem areas. And we could probably come up with a number of different alternatives, any one of which would be an improvement over a passive system. I think Mr. Johnston hit it on the head. We have a job to do if we go forward, you know, to convince our electeds that this is necessary and worthwhile doing, and for them to take the risk to take it on. And, you know, frankly, what I'm hearing today is it sounds like the board, without something specific to our special problems areas at least, is probably not going to be inclined to approve our LAMP. Now, that's a message I can carry to our Board of Supervisors. Here's what we've got. Here's our recommendation. If we go this way, indications are it won't get approved. We can proceed if you choose and put it on the table and, you know, force the decision, so to speak. Then we will have more specific guidance if it's needed. The board can weigh you know, what the direction is from here and decide, do we want to go down that path? And I didn't mean to make light of Tier 1, but I think that if we are unsuccessful in getting a LAMP approved, whether I am unable to sell it to our community or I'm unable to get something together that passed muster with the regional board, then the Tier 1 standards apply. And all of this discussion about an inspection program in any special problems area, even discussions of special problems areas, goes away. These are all creations of our LAMP. They're not creations of the Tier 1
policy. But that's
policy.
Just Tier 1 for those locations that qualify for Tier 1.
Actually, Tier 1 would apply countywide. It will basically accept, and I think Santa Barbara, probably you'll find very few places that will meet Tier 1 requirements in terms of soil depths. It'll basically shut down all building in Santa Barbara County. Okay. And it was designed with the intent to encourage the counties to develop a LAMP.
Okay, I understand.
While I've got your ear, I also want to mention that The OTS policy also provides for financial assistance through the State Revolving Loan Fund. The county can, once they get a lamp approved, could set up a low-cost loan program to help pay for retrofits or new systems with, it says, the typically one-half of the state's most recent general obligation bond. Historically, interest rates have ranged between 2 and 3%. It's probably less than that these days. But so there is a mechanism. They would have to set up a loan program. They could put it on the tax rolls for repayment.
Does that cover sewerging procedures too?
There is already SRF loans for sewering, not for laterals, but for the sewering. Yeah. So there are financial assistance programs available through the State Water Board.
So I'm sorry, either it's late or I'm just dense. A tier, yeah, or both, thank you. A tier applies to an entire county?
Well, tier one is a set of standards.
Right.
And so it says if you're going to put a new system in, it has to meet these performance standards.
But there is no consideration in the tier one language, at least on the quick fact sheet that I have, for existing systems. There's no language in there at all in tier one.
No, existing systems are, they're grandfathered in.
But they clearly, the ones that clearly are degrading groundwater aren't in tier one, they're
correct.
In tier four.
Okay, so remember, if the county decides not to, as Mr. Fay said, if he can't get it passed,
right,
and they go to tier one, here's what happens. It stops all building for the most part, unless you can meet these performance requirements. You might be able to meet them out in the Central Valley.
All new building.
Right. The rest of them now come under the purview of us, the Water Board. We now would have to take over the program, and we would be dealing with advanced systems and waste discharge requirements, either individually or for communities. It becomes our program.
Okay. Well, the answer to that is we want a partner, right?
We don't want to be there either.
Oh, yeah. We want to walk together down the aisle.
Absolutely.
To matrimony. That's
absolutely
what we want to do.
We want to be facilitators.
Yeah. So it sounds like it negatively incensed both the county
Make sure you speak in the mic, please, John, Mike.
Sounds like it kind of negatively incensed both the county if they can't arrive at a LAMP program, stops development in the county, and the regional board, because if they can't arrive at a LAMP program, we have to come up with the resources to manage that program ourselves.
Or, if I could add, we could place a prohibition
yep.
on that area
mm-hmm.
and not involve a lot of resources and prevent any more hookups within that zone.
For the whole county. No, for the zone, for the area,
not the whole county.
But my understanding is if they don't come up with a LAMP that we approve, then we kind of own the program for the county. Is that correct?
So tier one would apply countywide. That's for new systems. And then we would have to implement or people, for example, would have to come to us if they wanted to build and they couldn't meet tier one. They would come to us and we might give them a WDR for it. We'll say, well, you can't meet tier one and, you know, from what we can tell about where your location is and water quality impacts, we'll give you a WDR, but you've got to put an advanced $40,000 system in if you want to build a house or something like that.
So you got budget for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when Mr. Young said, well, an alternative is a prohibition zone, and I realize, you know, you brought up the technicality of the options. I'm just thinking, we just got out of that with Los Osos, and this was...
And there are specific legal requirements that have to be met to establish a prohibition zone.
It's one of our tools.
It is, but that can be very staff-intensive also. I just want to... Yeah.
Well, what would be more staff-intensive? The prohibition zone or dealing with, you know, 200 people or more individually with WDRs or their problems? I mean...
There is a difference between the situation in Los Osos. If there's no area either in the county or in the Santa Ynez area that can meet the tier one standards, because that essentially operates as a de facto prohibition because nobody can meet the minimum requirements. The board can issue WDRs to impose different site-specific requirements if it chooses to, but if it wants to insist on compliance with Tier 1 or doesn't have the resources to issue those permits, then you basically have the same result anyway without having to go through the basin plan amendment. There may be other areas in the region where you would have to adopt a prohibition zone in a similar situation, but from what they're saying here, that's not the case.
And the failing system, Tier 4 is going to, we would just apply Tier 4 to failing systems.
So where do we go from here?
I'm in favor of letting the county come back in January and, you know, let's have a go at it and see if they can. I mean, Mr. Fay's heard our individual concerns. We haven't collectively put something together for him, but I think he knows kind of where we're coming from. And I think we're ready to kind of take a look at it. And if you're able to get some changes in it to address what we've raised, great. If not, then we'll get very specific.
At this point, if we go forward with what we have and recommendation to the Board of Supervisors, our first hearing would be December 9th, and that would put our second hearing in January. I'm not sure the date on that. I'm not sure that I will have something that would be locally adopted and ready for consideration here in time for your meeting in January. And at any rate, whatever we put together, you would not have much time to review and digest. I mean, I appreciate that, but
we're not proposing to attempt to adopt or approve it in January. We can't do that either. And to be clear, the way your process works, you have several hearings before they adopt it.
Well, we have a minimum of two.
Okay.
Well, we had a set hearing. Then we'll have a hearing with them in December. Then a second hearing, a second reading, at which they would adopt. That's if in December we don't end up with substantive changes to the draft, in which case we'd have to go back and do some rework, then we'd go back and start that hearing process again. So depending on how it goes, we could be done in 2 months, we could take many months.
Yeah, and I think that if you don't get too far down the road in terms of adoption process, I know, Harvey, you're going to the meeting next week, aren't you, the community meeting? And if we could have some time, like December, to thoroughly look at the LAMP again and, you know, take into account your comments and look at the OTS policy and work with Larry, then I think we'd have a chance to at least come to the board meeting in January with some very specific suggestions in terms of what we think we would recommend to the board that we can live with or can't live with. So I would just request that the county not adopt it before then, because then we have to go into a full review here and then reject it and send it back, and they've got to start all over, and that just seems very counterproductive for everybody.
Mm-hmm. So the question, Ken, is based on your input in the due process you use, I mean, from a chronology, are we aligned here with January, or your view is in January, you know, I mean, maybe as a minimum, January could be a progress report, so to speak, because I think what Mr. Harris is proposing seems to be a little more substantive. In your case, from what I'm hearing is, well, you know, we got this process, and we'll be lucky if in January we even have a first paragraph. Least, but not what I meant to say, not first paragraph of a document, but first, verbally speaking, first dialogue or kind of feedback coming from the Board of Supervisors?
I think if we are careful, thoughtful, and inclusive in this interim process, we have a reasonable chance of not having a long involved process with our board. Where I think it gets challenging for a local board, and you probably all know this, is if I come in with something lay on the table and there's a huge hue and outcry and it appears as though we are unprepared and we've not included the right people and on all of those kinds of issues, if we haven't done a good process. But I think that if we've gone through a good process and we've met the legal requirements and we've worked with the regional board on the issues and we lay it out, you know, they'll still have a decision to make. Do they want to go there or don't they want to go there? But I think we can get some of the substantive stuff out. As far as our process at this point, what I'm just hearing from Ken is a desire to kind of work some language that would probably be acceptable to the board that we would carry forward and find out basically through our process if we can sell it. And then in January, we could be giving a progress report. I have to think a little bit about the process, about how to weigh this in, because we frankly were very far along and thought we were doing a good job of following the adopted policy and guidance that was prepared for us for a Tier 2 lamp program, and we're hearing differently now, so that presents some problem. I would also like to just point out one thing. We talk about 5 years or Tier 1 kicks in, but in rereading 885, we actually have 3 years because we have 36 months to get the lamp to the board for consideration, and then there's a period of time for which the board has to adopt it. If we fail to get something done in 5 years, Tier 1 comes in automatically. So we are, that may be a bit of a time crunch that is
I think we'll be okay.
Fungible, but yeah.
So to make sure we're all clear on the deliverable,
Lori suggested maybe at the January meeting if we're going to have this dialogue, is that we invite a couple county supervisors to participate along. I don't want to put you in a bad place there, but I would leave it up to Mr. Fay. But if you wanted to include or invite a couple supervisors to participate, and they can hear directly from the board or be part of the discussion, that might be a good idea.
And the our board of supervisors specifically extended an invitation to staff members and board for their hearing as well, so that there'd be a presence in it if there's an interest in being there. So we'll also keep Ken up to date on where we're going with our process.
What date is that, Mr. Fay?
As it stands right now, we're scheduled for December 9th. Yeah, I don't want to, December 9th. We don't have the time of day. We'll get, as that agenda gets fleshed out, we'll know better what time.
I think I'll be in Argentina.
I may join you. I think maybe Ecuador.
Yeah, Ecuador. Someplace.
December 9th, you're in Morro Bay.
Up the Amazon River.
you're in Morro Bay on December 9th.
Oh, that's right. Oh, God. That'd be a fun thing. Yeah.
Mr. Chair, because Mr. Jordan and I live in Santa Barbara, I'm sure that either one of us would participate if the chair would like us to.
Yep. We could do that.
I think that would be helpful for us because we're stretched pretty thin. So, yeah. And we'll see if a staff person can help out or attend also. If that would, I won't guarantee at this point. We'll see.
Actually, Ms. Oaken would be great.
Okay. So the action step, staff will.
We'll
put
work
a little bit of meat.
Yeah, we'll put together a discussion item. We'll do a detailed review of the odds and their lamp.
Mr. Young and Jordan attend the meeting, and then in January we get a little progress report on how things are coming along to the rest of the board.
Yes.
Okay.
And drink lots of coffee for January because it's going to be a lot like, well. Yeah, it's going to be a fun time in Santa Barbara. So we've got DeSalle, which will take.
Yeah, but we don't leave meetings and go home at midnight some other meetings.
You guys will earn your $100, that's for sure.
All right. Okay. So.
Don't rub it in.
Plenty of room at Mr. Young's house.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, and obviously has an abundance of drinking water since he's offering it by the 70-gallon. So.
I'm trying to get below 50 gallons per person in my house per day. So I'm sorry. I don't invite guests or I don't have tourists coming.
Oh, darn.
I don't know how you, I don't, honestly, I'm impressed because I don't know how you live on 50 gallons a day. That just, they must do their laundry in another town and they shower someplace else. Cause.
Or you shower every
50 gallons a day counting all the commercial use. Because that was just use.
Yeah, that's
all
not
right.
Much
so,
water.
So let's move on to Mr. Harrislow. I'd like us to move on to the next item.